Welcome to Hot Flashes and Cool Topics, a podcast for women in midlife and beyond. Here at Hot Flashes and Cool Topics, we talk about everything and anything to do with midlife. My name is Colleen.
My name is Bridget.
And today we are welcoming a fashion stylist. Her name is Jennifer Mackie Mary. And Bridget is going to let you know all about her, but let me just say we loved her.
Oh, yes. It was so nice to have that conversation with her during this time, because this is the time during social distancing. So it was so nice to just talk about something that is
light.
It's light, but it's still important,
and
but
fun.
Just light, but fun. Yes. So Jennifer Mackie Mary is a wardrobe stylist who gives real style advice to real women. Over the last 19 years, she helped thousands of women cut through the clutter in their closets and build wardrobes that make getting dressed fun and easy. She's the host of the podcast, The Everyday Style School, and the creator of the Everyday Style Capsule Wardrobe Guides that show women how to have more style with less stuff and less stress. Jennifer is passionate about raising confident daughters, female entrepreneurship, and getting every woman in America in a better bra.
Yes, so, and we will talk about that.
We really talked about that in this episode.
I think every woman has questions on fashion.
Sure.
And yes. Style. And as we get into midlife and beyond, our bodies start to change. I mean, that's just the reality of life. What you know, for me personally, I was always the same weight my entire life.
Not
like
me.
I just always was. Yeah. I mean, the only time I was a different weight was when I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute perimenopause hit, like all of a sudden I turned around, I was like, where'd that 20 pounds come from?
Yeah.
Like, and then you don't feel good in the clothes that you were wearing.
Right.
And you don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer was so pragmatic and helpful in saying, okay, this is the direction you need to take your body. You need to feel beautiful.
Yes.
You need to feel smart and well-dressed. And it's not about, yes, comfort is key, but you also want to feel good when you walk out the door,
right?
Which I really liked.
She really had a really good way to think about that, that she'll talk about in the podcast. And also, her website is youreverydaystyle.com,
okay,
which will also be in our show notes. But check it out, it is a great website.
She talks a lot about capsule wardrobes, which I have heard used so many times, but I didn't really know what a capsule wardrobe is. So she goes over that in detail. And if you've heard of it, but you kind of not sure, it isn't what I thought it was. And she talks about staple pieces. She talks about how to dress your body type, which is different than someone else's body type. She talks about the midlife middle that we all seem to get for
and
some reason.
Not about covering everything up. You know how important that is.
It's just about, you know, feeling well-dressed, but yet comfortable, which is really a fine line that you walk.
Yes, yes. Not frumpy. So it was just great.
I fall on the comfort side. Like, if I could wear my pajamas every day, I think I would. But that's not good. She basically told me to get out of my own head, which I guess I have to go. And to edit your wardrobe. We're going to talk all about going in your closet, not getting overwhelmed. She has, like I said before, pragmatic ideas for you kind of creating your own wardrobe without feeling like you're overwhelmed by it.
Without getting exhausted from it. So we're going to get ready to talk to her. Okay. Hi. We have Jennifer Mackie Mary here today, and she is a wardrobe stylist. She gives real style advice to real women.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, ladies.
Hey. So we were so excited to have you on because we love fashion. Mm-hmm. We love talking about fashion, but as it goes in midlife, a lot of times your body starts to change a little bit. You know, menopause or perimenopause kind of kicks you in the butt and you don't look like you did anymore.
Yes.
And you don't know what to do and what to wear and how to make yourself feel good. Because fashion is a lot about feeling good about what you're in, walking out with a confidence. So we were so excited to talk to you today.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit how you got started with fashion?
Yeah. So I never planned on being in the fashion industry. And it's funny, even now I think of this as my second career, but I've done this so much longer than my first career, which was corporate training. I opened new restaurants all around the country and all around the world. And I left food for fashion in 2001, when Chico's called me and they needed a regional training person. And I went to Chico's, and we were talking before we got started. Without Chico's, I don't have a job. So I am so forever grateful to them. But when I started working for Chico's, we didn't have mirrors in the fitting rooms. And every woman I say that to gets this horrified look, like that would be terrible. However, when you started working at Chico's way back in the day, the first thing they did is they taught you the four body types and how to dress each one. So how many times have you gone into a fitting room and you take this armload of clothes in, nobody comes to check on you, nothing works, you don't want to put your pants and shoes back on to go find different sizes, and you just leave empty-handed and sad? That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
However, it never happened at Chico's, because women had to come out and look in the mirror. And when they came out, there were four, you know, there were women who were trained on how to dress each body type, saying, you need a wider leg pant, you should have a shorter jacket, let's put a belt here, let's change out that necklace and put something longer on you. So it was really such an amazing experience for me as a wardrobe stylist. I mean, you know, Malcolm Gladwell says you have to put in 10,000 hours to be really good. Uh-huh. I spent my 10,000 hours in the mirror at Chico's dressing different women. And I have seen every body type. There is not a fashion challenge I didn't see there. It was just an amazing education on how to dress bodies, which is really the root of all style and fashion is fit and proportion. And that's exactly what we did at Chico's. So I'm the biggest Chico's fan ever, because they gave, yes, but you know, they gave me my business. So thank you, Chico's. I appreciate it.
Did they train you guys? Like, did they do the, send someone to training to figure out the body types and how to do that?
No, that was just part of their, they called it, it was their MAPS training, because Chico's is all about travel. So it was most amazing personal service. I still remember this. I think I still have my training materials. And they taught, like, okay, pear, apple, the four basic ones. They said, okay, this body needs a shorter jacket, this one needs a wider leg pant. And from there, it's really just practice of looking at people and identifying the body type. And one question I'm always asked is, do you look at everyone? And I can't help it. I don't look at people in a judging way, but that's kind of how I honed my skills, was, you know, standing in line at Panera or Starbucks or the grocery store saying, okay, that woman is a rectangle. Here's what I would do to give her more shape or to balance her body, whatever. So yes, I do look at everybody, but no, I don't judge everyone.
Right. Okay. Not in a judgmental way.
No. Way.
Yeah.
And I never tell people, I never walk up to strangers and say, you know what, if you just had your pockets higher on your butt, you'd look a lot better.
We just had a belt. It would be great.
I'm not walking around being an ambush makeover all the time. That would not win me friends.
No.
That would be overwhelming. What do you find with your experience in Chico's, before we get to the capsule wardrobe, but with your experience in Chico's, as women started to get to midlife and things like perimenopause and menopause started to hit, their bodies change. What did you find, like, the thing they complained about the most? Just the overall body change, or they no longer felt beautiful in their clothes? Like, what was some of the common complaints?
It's the midsection.
Mm-hmm.
For every woman. So, you know, if you are an apple body type, which is traditionally bigger on top than on the bottom, you never had a defined waist to begin with, but that becomes even more pronounced. If you are a pear, which is bigger on the bottom than you are on the top, all of a sudden that waist isn't quite as well defined as it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, an hourglass, every hourglass would say, I used to be an hourglass, but now I'm an apple, because she has a little bit more of a tummy. No, she's still hourglass shaped. It's just less pronounced. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, and that is just biologically, that's where fat deposits go when our hormones change. So that is really the biggest challenge for women in this phase of life, is dealing with a tummy that they never had before, or a bigger tummy than they had before, and, you know, fighting it every step of the way, like the oil of Olay commercial used to say. But that is the biggest challenge.
Yes, we had a guest that called herself a papple, because she said she used to be a pear
and now she's
an
apple.
Turning into an apple, and she's a papple.
You know, it's so funny. That is not a thing. You cannot be bigger on the bottom than you are on top, and also bigger on the top than you are on the bottom. I have heard this thing, like, I'm either a pear or an apple. Those are the opposite body types, and I hear it all the time.
Okay. We need to tell her.
We have to tell her.
What's a secret you would tell women who are starting to get bigger in the middle section, as far as either getting rid of in their wardrobe or adding to their wardrobe?
I think getting rid of in a wardrobe, anything that doesn't make you feel good. Okay. Right. If you put on a top or a sweater and you wear it and you are self-conscious all day and you are picking at your tummy and you are feeling like people are looking at you. I mean, I've had clients, is she checking out my belly? No, no one's looking at your belly. But if you feel like people are, go home and burn that thing. Don't put it back in your closet and say, oh, I'll want to wear that someday. There will never be a day that you want to feel like your tummy's on display. Never. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what I also would tell women is don't do this thing, especially if you are an hourglass, you will always be an hourglass. You won't necessarily be as well-defined or have as small of a waist as you were, but you still have those curves. And so many women just go to this strategy where they just cover it all up with a ton of fabric. That has never, ever been a successful strategy for anyone, ever. So women who are trying to hide a tummy will all of a sudden go for these really flowy, flowy blouses. So now they've hidden their tummy, but they also feel really boxy. So they're fixing one problem, but creating another. And I always say, you cannot fix a silhouette issue with size. So if you're a medium, buying a large t-shirt does not help you. It doesn't.
Guilty.
We also go in midlife for comfort. We want to be more comfortable than maybe we did in our 20s. Like, we went for looks more in our 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
And now we kind of want to be a little more comfortable, but yet not lose that fashion sense.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on comfort. And the first one is a badly paraphrased quote from Tom Ford, who is the head designer for Gucci. And he said, give up a little bit of physical comfort for psychological comfort. And I think sometimes we let the pendulum swing so far, and instead of like really, really tight, high-waisted jeans that you can't breathe in, all of a sudden we wear nothing but leggings or yoga pants. And there is a happy medium between the two where you can find jeans with good stretch, jeans that, you know, are a little bit more forgiving. Heck, you can wear pull-on jeans and give up a tiny bit of physical comfort for a lot of psychological comfort, because I know that every woman feels better when she is pulled together and when she likes the way she looks. So I don't want to say that I'm on a crusade to end the comfort thing, but I kind of am. I kind of am. I think we have taken it too far and we need to pull it back just a little bit. There is a huge gray area between 4-inch stiletto heels and frumpy sneakers, right? There are flats, there are wedges, there are cute sneakers. There's so much. We live in the age of athleisure. There is no reason that women are frumpy today. There just isn't. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to say about comfort is you should feel comfortable in your clothes. But when women describe their style as comfortable, you are leading with comfortable. I would rather have someone come up to me and say, oh, your dress is so cute. And then I say, oh, it's so comfortable. Rather than someone coming up to me and saying, you look so comfortable. Because when they say you look so comfortable, you are wearing pajamas. You are wearing sweatpants.
I wear pajamas. Yes,
that's kind of a backhanded compliment.
It is a backhanded compliment. Yeah. I always tell women, it's kind of like going to a furniture store. And I still have small kids. I am, you know, firmly in my 40s, but I still have small kids. And if I went in and I said, I have to have an easy care sofa, I would automatically start looking for sofas that look easy care, right? Mm-hmm. And they would have a certain aesthetic to them. And that might not be my aesthetic. It's actually not. It's probably one of those big puffy things with all the armrests and the cup holders and, you know, probably what I would end up with. However, if I said, I want a sofa that looks this way, looks modern and casual and polished, and then the fabric is easy care, I end up in the same place where I have a sofa I can take care of and that actually fits my lifestyle, but it still has the aesthetic that I want. So I want women to find comfortable clothes that reflect the aesthetic they want and not walk into that store and say, what looks comfortable? Because at the end of the day, you look comfortable, which is not a compliment.
That is.
How do you do that? How do you find your style and not give up the certain level of comfort?
Well, the first thing you need to do is define how you want to look. And this is an exercise that not a lot of women do. You need to know what your style guideposts are. And these are what I say, they are three words. How do you want to look? If somebody were just to describe your style, what are three words you would want them to say? So mine are modern, fun, and polished. I always like clothes that have a little bit of quirk to them. You know, the sweatshirt I'm wearing today has a puff sleeve shoulder. It's something that's a little bit kind of fun and quirky but I always want to look polished and I want to look current. So I go in stores and I look for clothes that have that aesthetic And then I put them on and I say, are you comfortable? So today I have a sweatshirt on. It's actually an ivory velvet sweatshirt with a puff sleeve. It's so comfortable. I could sleep in this thing, but it still looks the way that I want to look. So you start with defining how you want to look. What is the image that you want to portray? And then you look for those pieces that have that. And then you put them on your body and say, are they comfortable?
Okay. Now, I wanted to go into now what you do too. So you have a website, youreverydaystyle.com. Mm-hmm. And so just, could you talk a little bit more about what you do now?
Absolutely. So when I started my business 8 years ago, I was a local one-on-one wardrobe stylist. I'm sure you are familiar with the show, What Not to Wear. Mm-hmm. That is what I did. I was in the Northern Virginia, DC area, and I went into women's houses and I made them try on all their clothes, and sometimes they cried, and you know, then we shopped for what they needed, and we took out of their closet what wasn't working. We identified the pieces that were, we made outfits to serve more women in a larger way, because when you're a one-on-one stylist, you can help like two people a day, and that's really it. So one thing I noticed with a lot of my clients was that everybody said, I want a mix and match wardrobe. I want a mix and match wardrobe. And I think every woman has this idea that her outfits are, or her wardrobe is really versatile, that it can do a lot of things, that she can wear pieces on the weekend, that she wears to work, that she could, you know, she doesn't have a ton of stuff. She has fewer pieces that all work together. So when I was shopping with clients, we started kind of putting together these little mini mix and match wardrobes, and we based them on a couple of colors. We chose a few pants, a few tops, some layering pieces. And then at the end of our shopping center session, we would lay them all out. Like in the mall, I had this favorite bench and I would say, okay, now you can wear this with this and this with this and this with this. And they were always shocked at what they could do. And so when I decided to serve women in a larger way and serve more women at one time, I started creating these capsule guide eBooks that show women. I always use 34 pieces per season, and every capsule we do combines to make over 150 outfits.
Wow.
And women are always like, well, that's a lot of pieces. Go for it. Go in your closet, pull out 34 pieces. That is tops, that's bottoms, dresses, shoes, accessories, the works. That is an entire season. I say, go for it. Go in your closet, do all of that with 34 pieces. And you can't unless you have a plan. If you've thought about it ahead of time, how you're going to get there. So that's what we do. And one of my biggest commitments is reusing pieces from season to season wherever we can, because I really want women to stop buying stuff. And when I say the word stuff, I'm really substituting another less appropriate S word. Do you know what I'm saying? I want women to stop buying this stuff that just fills their wardrobe but doesn't amount to anything.
Right.
We need to make good decisions when we're buying so that it actually amounts to something, that it actually adds up to a wardrobe that you love, not just more to take care of, not just more to flip through every morning when you go, I have nothing to wear, you know, and you're standing surrounded by all these clothes and you don't know what's happening. So every season we reuse what we can. This season, spring that just came out a couple of weeks ago, it is over 50% recycled pieces, pieces that have made their debuts in other seasons. We reuse them and it looks totally different every single time, which is kind of the fun of it. Like every season it's current, it's different. We use different patterns. We use different accent colors, and you have a fresh wardrobe reusing all the stuff you had hanging in your closet already.
How do you feel about staple pieces?
I think that every great wardrobe is built on staple pieces. And this is an area that is lacking in every woman's wardrobe. And when I say every woman, I mean most every woman, because I know there are women out there who really nail this well. But what I have seen is, first of all, let me back up. It's a problem of recreational shopping. When you, even when you're at Target and you're like, I'm going to get some paper towels, and you veer the cart through the clothing section, you throw some stuff in the cart, you get home, you have nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And when you hit the clearance rack first, when you go into a store, you're not going to end up with these really amazing basics that are the foundation of your wardrobe. What I would love to see is women spending more on those key pieces, like a great pair of black pants, a perfect pair of jeans. I want women to go buy a pair of jeans that makes them sick when they look at the price tag, but makes them just smile when they look at their butt in the mirror. That's the pair of jeans you should buy, not the ones on clearance that you keep rebuying because you never get that dang, I'm cute kind of feeling. You know what I mean? So every woman should really focus on those basics. And then when you buy that one-off top, you have a way to wear it. When you buy that cool jacket that's on clearance, you have a way to wear it. But if you never buy those staple pieces, you just end up with stuff.
With stuff. And I love how you talk about your Lindas on your podcast. Your Lindas. Can you talk about how you came up with that?
Yeah. So first of all, Linda means pretty in Spanish. And I believe all my women are pretty. But actually, I had stopped working after I had my first daughter. I was a stay-at-home mom. I actually tried to be a direct sales jewelry person for a while. Boy, was I terrible at that. I never wanted to ask anyone to have a party. Like, I was just terrible. However, when I would do a jewelry party, people would say, can you dress me? Can you come work in my closet? Because I used to teach people how to dress their body type with jewelry. And I would always say, oh, that's so sweet of you. That's so nice of you. Oh, and I just kind of took it as a nice compliment. And then a friend of mine had asked me to speak at her women's group. They had a cancellation of a speaker. And she's like, could you put something together real quick? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went and I spoke. And afterward, a woman said, and she was actually on the older side, she was more of kind of my Chico's clientele. And she said, I'm just so tired of looking old. Will you come shopping with me? And I heard the question in a different way. I heard it finally in a way that people weren't asking to feed my ego. They were asking because even though we are supposed to know from birth how to dress ourselves, we don't. We have no idea what we're doing. And so I heard the question in a way that she was asking for help, and that the business that I was supposed to be in was not standing in people's living rooms asking them to buy $50 earrings. You know, it was helping women individually. And so that weekend, my business was born and her name was Linda. So that's how that my Lindas came about.
I love it. When I was listening to it, I just loved hearing all of that. You talked a little bit about the overwhelming closet on there. And then I also thought that you said style does matter. It does matter. To me, it seems like it's like your brand, like the way you look. It represents you, and it's almost like a branding thing. That's my takeaway from it. What are your thoughts on that?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, when you walk into a room, people see you before they hear you, and you can be the nicest person in the world. You could be the smartest person in the world. You could be, you know, the funniest person in the world, but they don't get that first. They just get what you want them to see. And I think that so many women aren't being intentional about what we want people to see. We just sort of fall into the trap of, it's clean. It's fine. It doesn't matter. I'm so tired of the words, it doesn't matter, because it does. It matters in a huge, huge way. And, you know, for women who have their own businesses, I work with a lot of those women. You are your brand. When you go out and you want to talk about your business and you're standing in line at Starbucks and you are frumpy, you're going to be a whole lot less likely to strike up that conversation.
Right.
And even, you know, women who are joining a women's group or, you know, something at church, and you are putting yourself in this position of having to be open to new people and new experiences. When you like the way you look, you are more open to those things. It is amazing the mindset shift that happens when you get dressed with intention and get dressed in a way that makes you happy. This mindset shift is just unbelievable. And so many women are robbing themselves of this totally free thing every single day, every day. One of my favorite all-time Lindas, she called me because she kept getting passed over for a promotion. And this Linda is smart and she's good at her job and she has an MBA, and she just wasn't getting promoted. And finally she went to her boss and she said, why am I not getting promoted? And the boss said to her, you don't look like management. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people are like, that's so sexist, blah, blah. But it is true. It is absolutely true. And, you know, the old adage about dress for the job you want, not the job you have, that never stopped being true, ever. Even though the world has gone casual, that never, ever stopped being true. And as a matter of fact, this is actually, it's a competitive advantage that not a lot of people are taking advantage of right now. And why not? I mean, if everybody else is leaving that on the table, I'm going to pick it up and run with it. Right. So Linda called me and she said, you know, I'm not looking like a manager. I went over to her house and everything was huge. Everything was frumpy. Everything was comfortable. You know, she had fallen into that like trouser pant, flats, and a cardigan twin set shell situation. And I was like, yeah, no, this is not an executive wardrobe. So we shopped and we put her in like Ponte dresses, which are really, really comfortable, but they were super polished and they were more structured. And we did get her a couple of suits, and she had suits. They were just too big. And within a few months, she was promoted at that company. And within a year, she was a vice president at another company. Wow. And, yeah. You know, I would love to live in a world where it doesn't matter. I truly would, but we don't live in that world. So, you know, use it to your advantage that we do.
Can you explain a little bit about the term capsule wardrobe? Because it's used a lot, and I don't think people understand exactly what that is.
So the term capsule wardrobe actually originated in the 70s in a boutique in London. And the idea of the capsule was the core pieces. Your capsule was your core pieces. And then every season, sort of these fun things or these seasonal things would sort of come in and out, right? But your capsule was the center of the universe. Your core was the center of the universe. Now it's sort of a different definition. A capsule is a carefully curated collection of clothing, a defined number of pieces, usually doesn't have to be, that all mix and match together.
Okay. Oh, wow. I'm writing this down.
Well, because it's a very popular term used now, but I don't know that everyone knows exactly what a capsule wardrobe is.
Right. I was listening to your podcast and it said just five simple steps of looking put together. And one of them was 15 minutes at a time in your closet.
So that is actually from my episode, Edit Your Closet Like a Pro.
Okay.
And that is my most downloaded episode by far. All y'all want to know how to clean out that closet.
Yes.
And so you're going to see a lot of people who clean out closets or who do what I do, or KonMari people telling you to take everything out of your closet, make a huge mess on your bed, and then go through it. And don't stop until you're done. To me, that is the perfect recipe for sleeping on the couch or for having a huge pile of clothes on the floor for a very long time. You get exhausted. You get exhausted. So in that podcast, I say the first thing you need to do is organize your closet the right way. Stop this color coding nonsense. Stop having your work clothes on this side and your casual clothes on this side. I have a way that we do it that actually makes sense based on how we get dressed. So that's step number one. You don't even throw anything away at that time. And then you set a timer for 15 minutes and you just start weeding out. So my closet editing process is a three-step thing. And I call the first one the low-hanging fruit. This is where you do not try on anything. It is just the stuff that you know needs to go. Like, you need to have a get real, come to Jesus moment with yourself that you are never going to wear those low-rise Britney Spears was relevant jeans again, right? And they can go. You don't put anything on your body and you just set 15-minute timers and you can do it in one day or you can do it over a course of a week. But the point is not to overwhelm yourself and you just pull out the low-hanging fruit. The second step, and this is usually where I would go into a closet, is called the meat and potatoes. And this is where you try on section by section. We do tops first. Actually, with my clients, I do pants first. Then we do tops and we do jackets and cardigans followed by dresses. And that's when you try things on. But again, you don't pull everything out of your closet, make a huge mess, and lose steam. We all run out of steam at some point in this process. Yeah. So I chunk it into little tiny manageable chunks for people. And then the third step from my closet editing is the cherry picking part. And that's what you leave things in your closet that you're not sure about. I don't want anybody throwing away things. You're like, you know, I like this. I used to like this. If you really feel strongly that you can't part with it, leave it in your closet. But then months later you go, hey, have I worn this? And again, you are real with yourself. Editing your closet, no matter how you approach it, there's an element that you just have to get real with yourself. You have to be honest about, do these things serve me anymore? Because your clothes can either serve you or you can serve your clothes. That's how it works. Okay. So if it's not serving you, it needs to go. It's got to go.
Yeah. And you also said a good bra fitting is very important.
No, it is not very important. It is the most important thing women can do to look better, especially in this phase of life. Like when you're 22, a good bra fitting is that's just icing on the cake, right? Mm-hmm. In this phase of life, it is the cake. It is the cake.
Yes. And if you're in the Nashville area, Rebecca's in Green Hills is a great place. So if you're in that area.
Well, even Soma, they'll do it.
Or they'll do it, yeah. Places like that.
The only two mall stores I recommend women go to are Nordstrom or Soma.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. The reason for that is that you have... The store has to have a wide enough size range to fit you properly. What happens, and I shared this on, I just did two episodes on my podcast about bras because I am that passionate about them. But when you go to a store that has a narrower size range, they're going to get a cup that fits you, but the band isn't going to fit you. And those two, the letter and the number, have to work together to have a proper fitting bra. But when you have a good fitting bra, first of all, ladies who think they have lost their shape, you're going to find your waist again. Because your boobs are just covering it, right? I always tell people, the farther your boobs are from your waist, the younger, taller, and thinner you look.
That's true.
Now, there is a point where that doesn't work anymore, and they shouldn't be chin rests. You know? Yes. But get them up. You know, that will either give you a little bit of a waist, or it will show off your waist. It makes all of your clothes look more expensive, and it makes your clothes fit you better. So a lot of women, when they're feeling frumpy, their first thought is, "I just need to go buy new things." Mm-hmm. And then they put them on. They're like, "Oh, it's just me. Actually, it's not the clothes. It's just me." No, it's not you. Go get your boobies back up where they're supposed to be and then reevaluate, because you're going to find it's a totally different situation.
Yeah. So you would say invest in a good bra or several good bras, as opposed to necessarily buying new clothes. Invest in your lingerie first and see if that helps.
Hey, they're called foundations for a reason. Mm-hmm. They are the foundation of your wardrobe. I always give the analogy of HGTV. I love HGTV, uh-huh. especially when they're working on older homes. They always find a foundation issue, right? Every single time. Right. And never do they say, "You know what? Let's just go cheap here and save our money for fun cabinets." No, they spend what it takes to fix the foundation.
Right.
And they don't do anything else first. Like, that is a critical need. And that's how it is with bras. And on any given day, my bra is the most expensive thing I'm wearing. I think it's, I
went to Rebecca's and it's our family tends to have larger busted women in it. But that my daughter, it's funny, she's not like that, but she said, "I want to go to a really good place and get a really good bra." Cause she has actually a narrow back. So it was hard to find her a bra that fit her with such a narrow back. And she looked up and we found this place, and they're great. I've never had a fitting like that before. But you said to go every year.
Every single year. Yeah. You know, gravity does not do kind things. Right. And we have weight fluctuations. Right. And sometimes you just need a new shape of bra. Sometimes you need a different size. But bras don't last as long as we'd like them to. So as long as you're replacing them, you might as well go get a new fitting.
Really, yes. And you also said wear nicer shoes. Nicer shoe, the shoes with the outfit.
Shoes define your style.
Yes.
Plain and simple. Shoes define your style. So you can have a basic outfit with really cool shoes. You've got a great outfit. You can have a great outfit and terrible shoes. You have a frumpy outfit. Mm-hmm. I was at, I shouldn't say where I was at because maybe these people might listen to your show. But anyway, I was there, and from like the ankles up, all these women were totally decked out. And on every single foot was a pair of like cheap flip-flops.
Oh.
And the whole outfit was just ruined. It was just ruined. And I thought, you know, you could, it was summer, so you can wear sandals. You can have pretty shoes. You could have even, you know, like a leather kind of T-strap sandal or thong sandal would have looked a lot better, but shoes define your style. And I had one client, she called me because she always felt frumpy, but she had amazing stuff in her wardrobe. And I even couldn't figure out like what's happening here. And so finally I said, "Okay, well, let's go through your shoes." And she had racks and racks and rows of high heels that hurt. So she didn't wear them, and, you know, special occasion shoes. And I said, "But what do you wear every day?" And she said, "Oh, those are just my uglies. I keep those by the door." Okay. Well, I think we found it.
There you go. You're ugly.
You're uglies. Like, if you are self-describing something as ugly, we have found the problem.
Right. Right.
And how do you feel about color as we get a little older, midlife and beyond, adding color to your wardrobe?
Every wardrobe needs color. Every wardrobe needs color. And I have one of my podcast episodes is the style, and I hate this word mistakes, but it's really the style choices that are aging you. And a lot of women default to black, and it is not a kind color for most women. I mean, so as I'm sitting here, you are wearing black and you are actually a woman who can wear black. So
I'm actually olive green.
It's olive. Is that olive? Okay. It looks black on my screen, but you're dark enough. Your complexion and your hair are dark enough that you could actually pull off those darker colors. On me, black just drains on the color. And, you know, for women who have blue eyes and they wear a blue shirt, and women, you know, people say, oh, that color is so good on you because it's highlighting the color in your eyes. Right. Black picks up shadows and dark circles and drains the color from most women.
I do have a lot of black in my wardrobe.
I was going to say, there goes half my wardrobe.
No, this is one of my favorite colors that I'm wearing today. Kind of like this
blue.
Yeah. It's like, what do you call it? Cornflower blue. Mm-hmm. Something. That's one of my favorites, but you know, I know how certain colors don't look right on certain people.
Yeah. And we kind of think that black is a universal color. It is not. It is neither is white. If you can wear black, you can wear white. If you can't wear black, you can't wear white. So it's
interesting.
Do you remember the days of going to get your colors done?
Oh, yes. I had in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Oh yes. Color Me Beautiful, which is still around, by the way. The woman who wrote the last two books for Color Me Beautiful lived about 5 miles from me when I lived in Virginia. So she did my training on color. And, you know, it's something that I had done back in the 80s with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I'd kind of forgotten the principles. But when you really start looking at colors that are best for you, you look lighter and brighter and more awake, and those shadows go away, and all of a sudden your features come out and you need less makeup and you look like you've had two cups of coffee. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a wardrobe stylist, I'm not all about getting so tied into every something that you like. I wear black. I shouldn't, but I do because I like black. So I'm not one of those people that's going to say you can never, ever wear black, because it's not realistic. However, when I know I'm going to be photographed, when I know I'm doing videos for work, when I know that, you know, when I want to feel good, I make sure that I'm in my best colors. So, you know, I think that color is one of those things that every woman should be utilizing more in her wardrobe and really looking at what is best for them, but not getting so married to it that they put themselves in a little box of, I can never wear that again.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And then another thing you said, and the reason I'm wearing this necklace today, dear, yes, during this time, is a third piece to your outfit.
And yes.
So I was like, I'm going to add my third piece today. So I put this necklace on. Yes.
So a third piece, you know, you've got your top, you've got your pants, adding a third piece, which normally, I think sometimes a statement necklace can work. I think to really get the benefit of the third piece, your outfit has to be complete without it, right? So, like you are wearing jeans and a cardigan, putting a shirt on could wear on its own. Like every it should be complete without that. So, layering a cardigan or a jacket, layering a shirt under a sweater, something like that that gives a little bit more dimension and polish. A scarf, a necklace, something that finishes your outfit. It goes a long, long way.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
So we've got, for older women, black is not a great choice in our, and if you went into anyone over the age of 40's wardrobe, we're all going to be editing our closets and getting new shoes. What else would you suggest for, or not even suggest, like avoid for over 40? Is there certain mistakes we just all tend to lean towards making?
Yeah. But first of all, I want to say that not every woman should avoid black. There are some, especially women, if you go gray and your hair is like white, you know what I mean? Like that really pretty gray, you could probably wear black. If you go gray like I do, which is just sort of this, I don't even know what color that is.
It's not pretty.
I don't intend to find it, but those women are probably not as good in black. So I don't want to make the rule that no one can wear black, but you know, just check it. Just do an online quiz or reach out. We'll tell you. But I think the biggest mistake that women over 40 make is that they pull away from style. And to me, this is the time in your life to wear whatever the heck you want, because who cares? Right. Who cares? And I don't mean that from a, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to wear frumpy things. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't the time in your life to wear things that truly make you happy, that really light you up. And, you know, it's funny, my mom always used to say, that when you get older, you disappear, that people stop paying attention to you, that you disappear. And, you know, as I age, I do see some of that. I do. However, I think about all of the truly stylish women that came into Chico's. Those women are never disappearing. They had amazing style. It still mattered to them. You know, and I think a cool thing about this phase of life for most of us is that we are getting out of, I'm at least out of the baby phase, you know, and now into the elementary and middle school age, but our kids are getting older. We have more time to ourselves. Hopefully you have a little bit more money to spend on yourself. You're not wearing things because, oh, this can get spit up on, or, oh, I can go play at the playground in this. You're wearing things because you like to wear them and you get yourself back. And I think it's kind of sad that a lot of women don't take that and run with it. Like, I have paid my dues. I have been there for other people. I've put myself on the back burner. But you know what? It's time for me now. And I'm going to wear the leather pants if I like the leather pants. And I don't care what anybody says because it just doesn't matter.
Spanx makes the leather pants.
They do.
Exactly.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, and what I always tell women when they say, oh, I'm too old to wear that. Go to the stores that you like to shop at, right? So if it's Talbot's, if it's Chico's, if it's J. Jill, and look at how they're interpreting that trend or that piece, if they are. You know, I've had a lot of women say, oh, I can't wear distressed jeans. I'm too old for that. Really? Because Talbot sells them. If Talbot's is selling them, you're not too old. Right?
Yes.
If Chico's is doing it, you're not too old. So yes. I think looking at those things and not assuming that you're too old. But I will say the moment you think you're too old for something, you are, because it's not going to feel or look authentic. Yeah. And I think looking like you're wearing a costume is the worst style mistake you can have.
Exactly.
So if someone is saying, I need to talk to Jennifer, like I need to get to, and they go on your website, I noticed that you have kind of the capsule wardrobe. Mm-hmm. What can they find on the website?
So on my website, they can either find my my guides and classes. So I have I've got the seasonal capsule wardrobe guide. I've got an everyday style challenge, which is just 31 simple tasks to kind of give you a kick in the pants out of your style rut. And then I have my all access membership, which is a whole year of capsules, plus all of my style master classes, which is like find your best colors, discover your personal style, find jeans that fit, flatter, and don't fall down, you know, all of those kinds of things. And then a Facebook group. And then I also work with women one-on-one virtually. So I have clients all over the world and we go into their classes virtually and do the same thing.
Wow, that's great.
That's awesome. And, you know, we could definitely talk to you forever because learning so much.
I would love to.
We would love it if you came back for another season.
Yes, yeah.
I would love it.
Yes.
But we will have all of the information on our show notes for your, you know, website and your podcast, and definitely everybody listen to it. And then hopefully you'll come back and talk to our viewers more, because I really think they're going to just resonate with this episode.
Yes. Because there's so
I would love to.
Parts of it.
I know. I feel like we only
because I have my notes. I'm like, oh, wow. Yes.
No, I'd love to do this again. That would be wonderful.
Oh,
well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies.
Well, we want to thank Jennifer so much for talking to us on this day and just such a fun conversation. And we learned so much from it. Yes, we learned a lot from it. I'm going to be cleaning out some of the black colored clothes in my closet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like, oh, if she walked, shadows. I feel like she'd be disappointed in me if I walked.
Well, and one. I do have a lot of black things in my wardrobe as well. But you know what? I tend not to wear all black at once. Every once in a while it'll happen. But I don't, you know.
Oh, if you go in my closet, it's like my goth days coming back to haunt me.
Ooh, you had goth days?
Not really, but it gave me an excuse to wear black.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we know you enjoyed that because we enjoy that.
Yes.
And we will have all of her information on the show notes, her website, her podcast, all the links you're going to need. We will be having her back on because it was just that much fun.
There's
that.
So many other things we want to talk about.
Online shopping. We want to talk about, she brought up a couple things off air that we really
get into the edit of your closet. She just touched on it today. Mm-hmm.
She has an episode on her podcast that talks about that. So take a listen to that. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you learned a lot like we did. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.